Thank Chris and greetings to each one here this morning. Thankful for everyone that's come out to worship with us. Great is our is God's faithfulness, we were singing. Isn't that wonderful? He certainly is great. What would we do without him? So many things that happen in a day's time. I'm thinking like Daryl said, you know, he smashed his finger. Yeah, and it hurts so bad, you know, it takes all your attention for a little bit. But it's like that all the time. On Friday, we were rushing around. We had a lot of pickups to make, and I'm training a new guy, and we're together in a truck, and we're rushing around all day long, and running late for the last pickup, and calling the guy, yeah, we'll wait on us, we'll wait to 6 o'clock, you know, and then, you know, the clock keeps ticking, and the traffic's bad, and then, it's like 6 o'clock, so I call him again. I'm only 4 miles away, but, you know, just not there yet in traffic. Then we get to the road that the place is on. And because it was windy, power line went down. There was a fire truck parked across the street. And so I called the guy again. I said, hey, we're right out here, you know. The power line's down. We got to find a way around this or something. Oh, he said, there ain't no other way. You got to come in that road, you know. And so I went and talked to the fireman, and he says, well, he said, yeah, you can get in there. He said, you got to go turn around, come down the street, go through the shopping center, and you can get in by the store. Well, on a Friday night, shopping centers aren't altogether a nice place to be. So, you know, we get in there and finally we made it. Went in and talked to the guy in the warehouse, and he's looking and looking and looking, and we're only picking up one skid. Then he says, you know what? They gave you the wrong address. That skid's down in Edison, and we're 20 miles away. And we call that guy, and where the skid's supposed to be. Oh, yeah, he said he'll be there. So back out in the traffic again, you know, and it just like, I was getting worn out, because we did like 7 or 8 pickups in one day's time, and But we got it done. But, you know, that's when the stress, the real life. And that's why we got to have Jesus first, because we'll start doing things that we don't want to do if we don't have Jesus in our life. He's not our, we sang that song, Rock of Ages. He got to be our rock. He got to be the person that we trust in. And even though we're up against it, we can say, Lord, help us, you know, help us. And so that's the way, that's real life. But that's why we need like my friend Dave, he used to say, he's died and gone now, but he used to say, you got to be a Jesus freak. I like to use that term just to remember my friend, because and you do. You got to be a Jesus freak. It's got to be on the edge of your mind all the time. What does the world do when they get up against it? They start letting bad words fly and you name it. But we don't need to live like that. We're different people. We're called from that kind of life onto something better. My mind's at a lot of different places. I was studying for something, and then I changed a little bit and this and that. But anyway, you can turn your Bibles to 1 Peter 2:25. It says, "For ye were all as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." That was our life out there. That was our life. We were on the wrong path. But there was something better. And it was our choice. It was your choice. It was my choice to choose something better. And it's like, if you think of holding grudges in your life, it's a choice. You choose not to do it. You choose a better way. And the Bible says, not just forgiving that person, but there's, in the New Testament, it teaches you go the second mile. You don't just forgive them, but you think of something you can do that's good for them. You can bless them. And I think, what's missing in some people's lives today. And it can be missing in mind so quick. It says that we were a sheep going astray. You know, that's what Satan wants to drag us into, that thing. But it's not the right way. But we need to do and make the right choice. And then our life can be different. And it goes that way all through life. We got to make the right choice. And I like to read down through here. There's so many things about making the right choice in this passage here. It mentions so many different things. And it goes on to say in chapter 3, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel." See, it's not that outward stuff that's going to con anyway. That's not what it takes. You can look as good as you want, but if you do the wrong thing, you make the wrong choices, it don't avail anything. It says, "But it let it be that hidden man of the heart." Thank you, Todd. Might need some of that. There's something more important. It's that hidden man of the heart. It's that choice you make. You make a choice to do the right thing. It doesn't come natural, because naturally Satan's here trying to wreck our lives. He hates when you're doing what's right. And that's the war we live in. It says, "But let it be that hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in old time the holy women also trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." Okay, you see how it starts out there, likewise. And then we're going to read on then, and it says, "Likewise, ye husbands." But it's talking about our Christian life, we changed our heart, we got on the right track, and that's the only way this can happen. That's the only way you can be worth anything in God's sight. You can't be worth anything in our own strength. So we make the right choice, and then we can be a blessing. We can do good to others. We can bless others, and we'll have peace in our hearts, which we cannot even explain. Then it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according unto knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's kind of an amazing verse there. There's a connection there. Is God going to hear our prayers if we're not? It indicates that way that God may not even hear our prayer if we're not living right and doing right. And I liked the children's lesson. It said that everybody's made different. And that's what this is talking about here too. But dwell with your wife according to knowledge, because our wife is made different than us. When we have a garden and the weeds are coming up, sometimes it takes our strength. It takes more than what our wife has, if you're going to use that comparison. It takes some strength. It takes work. Does that mean your wife isn't worth anything? No. It's because we're all made different, and we can all do the same thing. It's so sad. I see people in life. I may have said this before, but it seems like some people get married and they never become one. You ever see that? I grew up conservative Mennonite, and there's a couple that got married, and I thought everything was going good. But then one day we were at their place for lunch. Then his wife says, "Well, those are his cows, and these are my cows that were here." I thought, "Wow, how can you milk cows like that?" I don't enjoy paperwork that much, but I don't know. I think her cows might eat some of my cows. Hey, I don't know, but it would get so messed up. Well, Les, you milk cows. Is that how you did it? I don't know how you could do that. It blows my mind how you could do that. But it doesn't work. Because today, I'm not sure if they got divorced or not, but I heard they were applying for a divorce over money issues. And it doesn't work. It does not work. If I'm not saying, I know there's some people that keep their money separate, but I don't know how they do that either. But if it works, maybe, I don't know. But if you get married, let's look at a verse here. And I forget what that verse says, but in Genesis. Oh, that's the leaving your father and mother. Well, that needs to happen too. Might get onto that a little bit, but how about Matthew 19, 5 and 6? There's a miracle that happens. In Matthew, it says, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. I think it's a miracle, and it's just like when you get converted. You make the right choice, and God joins you together. I don't know how it works, but it works. You need to make that choice and be committed to it. And God makes it happen. That's all I can say, because you can't explain it. And I'm sure many of you know what it's like, but I see people in life that are never committed. They're never committed. And I don't know how that works, but I guess it's a hard life to live, I'd say so. But anyway. But some of the problem is because it's just like in your Christian life. You give your heart to the Lord, but you want to keep hanging on to something. You want to keep hanging on to, you want to hang on to this little thing and say, well, surely I can do this. It's my hobby or whatever, or something that's not quite, it doesn't line up with the Word of God, but we want to just hang on to that little thing. And surely I can do this, you know. Surely I can do this. But it doesn't work. In the long run, it's a disaster. And that's how it is. When you don't follow the Word of God, there's so many people I can think of that you don't follow the Word of God. They want the right outcome, but they don't make the right choices. They don't follow what the Bible says. And then they're in a disastrous situation, and then they, like, they just don't know what to do. But that's why the Christian here, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And it stands out. Does it just happen? No, you have to make the right choice. That's the all, that's a secret of it. You got to make the right choice. How do we make the right choice? I think it's by prayer, by seeking God. Just like it was when you became a Christian. It don't just happen. You sought God. You sought for something better. You were in trouble. You sought for something better. And that's how it is in our life. We seek for something better. Everybody wants to enjoy life. And you want a life that's prosperous. You want a happy life. So we make the wrong choice and expect to get the right results. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Let's read on down through here. I think the rest of this, they have it separated here, but I think it goes all the way down here to 13. It says, finally, be ye all one mind, having compassion one to another. Love us, brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's pretty serious. The Lord's against them that do evil. But I think this is talking to the husband here. Finally, be ye one mind, having compassion one to another. You need to love your family. There's no way you can be mean to your wife and be mean to your family if you have love. Lowell is so powerful, it'll make you do things you never thought you'd do. Just like that, my friend Dave I talked about, I jumped in the pond to save that boy when we were growing up. And we talked about it before that you should never do that. And I thought in my heart, I'd never do something so stupid like that. Because you're probably both going to end up drowning. But he was one of my best friends. And right over this time, we were having so much church problems and stuff, and I didn't know what to think. But that night, I sat on my bed. I thought, you know what? I don't know why I did what I did, but I almost drowned myself. And I was trying to get my friend out of there. He threw up on me and got it in my mouth. And I'm in the water trying to stay on top. And it was awful. And then I almost didn't make it. I mean, I was so wore out that I just about gave up. I mean, it was like, what are you going to do, you know? But we made it. And we were sitting on the bank, and I said, "Weren't you afraid, Dave?" Oh, he said, "I knew you'd get me out." I don't know why he thought that, because, but I never said anything. I had a couple second thoughts before I jumped in, but I didn't know what else to do, because I didn't want him to drown, and I knew that's what's happening. And so what do? But I was sitting on my bed that night, and I was thinking about all this church stuff and people fighting. And I thought, you know what? I don't think people love each other. Because you really love, it's going to make you do things that's going to help people, and you're going to do things that solve the situation, not just make it worse. But, you know, people love to fight. They love to fight, and they like to keep fighting and fighting. Maybe not worry big, you know, but it's underneath, you know. It's just like this couple I was talking about at the dairy farm. We were at a family gathering, and they happened to be there. It was a wedding. So my daughter, she knew these people had some problems, and so she's working in the house with the wife, and so she decided that, well, the man must be the problem, because this lady's really nice, you know. So then a little later, we were sitting out at some of the tables there in the evening talking, and he's sitting there, you know, and we're having a good time talking. And so then after a while, later on, my daughter told me that, well, I was sitting out there and listening to him talk and having such a good time. And he thought, well, who is the problem here anyway? But see, that's the problem. It's just a little bit. We're fighting underneath, you know. Just keep that thing going, you know. Just got to keep fighting a little bit, you know. We know it's not really right, but it feels good, you know, because you just keep fighting. And we can't live like that. We got to make that choice to cut it out. It doesn't fit. We cannot do it. And we need to forgive. We need to forgive. And if you really forgive, you're going to change your mind. Your heart's going to be changed. But we like that. We don't want to keep that grudge. We want to keep that little thing going, you know. We just don't quite like him, so we're just going to keep it going. And that's what happens in life so many times. And too bad it happens with husbands and wives. But it's like, what was that? John Dee said that fighting's worldly. It is. It's part of the world. We can't do it. We can't go down that path. And I like that other preacher we had here a little while ago. I don't remember his name, but he said that there ain't really any marriage problems. He said it's because people need to get to the foot of the cross. And that is really that's the secret right there. You need to repent. You need to repent of your sin and get at the foot of the cross. And then your life can start being a blessing to others. It says right here, not rendering evil for evil, nor railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. See, God calls you to go that second mile. Don't just quit fighting, but think of something you can do to bless that person. That's in the New Testament, I think that's what God calls. He you got to go more than just quit it. You got to go one step further. And think of something you can bless the other person. Oh, it might cost you, but what does that matter? That's the way life is. It always costs you. But I think the way I see it here, it's just like when you plant a garden. You plant a garden, what comes up? Weed. Yeah. Well, the other stuff does too, but later. Okay, that's how it works. But see, right there you have it. That's why I believe the man needs to get out there, take charge of the situation, take care of the weeds. Don't expect your wife to take care of the weeds. She can help. Don't expect your wife to take care of the weeds. But that's how it works. And it's so simple if we make the right choice. And we have our heart at the right place. Then we can see past other people's mistakes. We can give them a blessing. But it's just amazing to me how people love to fight and they just want to keep at it and keep at it and keep at it. And that's how it was when I was growing up there in that church situation. It just seemed like you get over one thing and think, well, now we got this settled. And then somebody else is fighting. Oh, I don't like the way he said that to me, or I don't like this. You got to get over that stuff, because it's going to happen all your life long. People are going to say the wrong thing. And just think of it this way. Somebody says the wrong thing to you. What if you think of how I could give them a blessing and have a nice conversation with them and bless them for the good you can find in them? That's what needs to happen. But that's not our flesh. See, the flesh will like to fight, wants to fight just a little bit more. And that's Satan. Satan just loves that. He wants to get in between there. He wants to. But God is able to do a miracle in your life. He's able to transform your heart, and he's able to be that rock, be your rock. You're not going to get that out of people. People can't be your rock. People can't be the place you get your source of energy from. It's got to be from God. Well, I don't have a whole lot more. I mean, we could talk about stuff, but I think you heard what I had on my heart. And I just pray that everybody would just commit their heart and take a look at their life and say, Am I doing what God wants me to do? Yeah, we might feel like we lost something, you know. My dad was one. We were down to see him this week. Went down there a couple of days. And, you know, he was one that kind of ruled more as a Lord. And everybody's different, but it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. And that's why you have so many problems. That's all I can say. Thank you.